And hello, friends. Due to some technical difficulties of Skype just not playing fair today, we are here about 11 minutes late. But you know what? I don't care. We're here. We made it. We put it through. We've made it through Blog Talk technical support, which was completely non-existent, through Blog Talk host 1, 2, and 3, which completely banged and flopped and all this stuff, and we are here. So guess what? It is time now for a great, great show. It's going to be a good day. Jackie, is it going to be a good day?
It's been a good day.
It's been a great day. Dan, is it going to be a good day?
It's awesome.
Virgil's going to be a good day?
We'll see.
See? Charlie's going to be a good day?
Freaking awesome.
There we go. It's going to be just some good old awesome sauce fun. So let's talk about it. Growing up psychic versus developing your physical abilities as an adult. That is our topic.
That's what we're talking about.
That's what I thought
you were saying.
I want to change my vote.
No way, man. Votes are in. Tabulated, and that's it. Even in the crooked voting machines.
Ernst & Young.
There we go. But so go. Just starting off, let's go around the table. To my right. No, I know. So start to my left again. To my left, with the red mic and the red hair and the sparkling eyes, is the ever lovely
Dana.
And then the very artistic, which we got to start getting pictures of some of this work on here, is the very.
Go ahead. Just Virgil.
Just Virgil? I was trying to think of a new word there. Next, across from.
You got a little tongue tied. You thought you were Paul.
Sitting across from Virgil is the ever stately.
Charlie.
And then the always non blonde, the.
As far as we know,
the leader of our group, the driving force behind Among the Realms Radio,
Jackie.
Yeah, and me, Mark, your other host for the evening. All right, anybody have any good news to go on before we get started?
We have lots of good news.
Lots of good news.
Too much to. Lots of good stuff happening.
Really? Should we save that for the end? We can save that for the end. There. Okay, we can do that.
Yeah, because we're running a bit behind.
We are 11 minutes behind. Let's say that means we have to speak 11 minutes worth of time faster. All right. Anything else good to speak about besides fest stuff? Anything nice happen?
We're on the air.
We're on the air. We made it on the air. Made it on the air. Did anything good going on with you? You always have something good going on.
I always have something good going on. Yeah.
Tell me about it, girl.
I made it through the day.
You made it through the day.
You know, actually, I did. It's all, I got my computers working.
Yep.
I mean, I'm grateful for small things.
It's all good.
Why'd you look at me and smile when you said grateful for small things?
I wanted to make you
know, Mark.
Why do you think? Everyone out there knows.
It's cold in here.
We all know.
That's
Mark.
Good.
Yeah, well, because you sit there with no pants on.
It's not that kind of show tonight, but that's the other show. Well, it does say it's all right in front of me, so. What about anything else going on good?
Mark's pants are on.
I am wearing pants.
The weather is freaking awesome here. It is like the most gorgeous day.
It was cool this morning, though.
Yeah,
it was.
It's nice.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful sleeping weather, yeah. I spoke to a client in Arizona today, mm-hmm. and he said 120 degrees yesterday.
Oh, my God.
And he said it was 113 today.
Nope, when they go out.
In Arizona. You could.
Well,
you wouldn't
lava. Last week in India, it was 134.
Yeah, that's not
hottest
fun.
Ever.
That's not fun.
134, you saw people just laying down.
And that's not even the hot time. Oh, they do. They work.
Oh, my
they
God.
134.
Imagine being packed in one of those trains. You ever see the Indian commuter trains?
Yeah.
I mean,
not
people
packed.
People
right on top.
Dangling out of the air. Oh,
that's scary.
That's not fun at all. What about you, Jackie? What's anything good going?
I'm just busy doing all our stuff that you don't want to talk about now that you want to save till the end. But we have a lot of stuff.
We do.
We have bring a friend to talk about at the end. So.
And we had an awesome class last night, too. Yeah. As always, it was an awesome class. And yes. I think they're getting better, the classes are. Or else I'm just relaxing more into them. Maybe it's that.
You're getting into it.
We'll talk about that. Later.
It's become part of your life.
It is part of my life.
I survived a bottle of Freon exploding in my face. I shouldn't tell the EPA that. No, I was working on my mother-in-law's car. I just touched up the AC, and I had this little touch-up bottle. It was something wasn't going. It wasn't working at all. So I just give a little twist, and the whole thing pops out and blows. But the problem is they put stuff inside these bottles to also fill any gaps and plug any leaks in your O-rings or anything. So now – pretty much, I was like, what's going on with this? And my mouth was open right in there. So my mouth is nicely plugged of any gaps and full of Freon. I tell you what, it has a nice minty taste. But.
And then he sends an emoji with it, and it's the one with the, like, X out eye.
Yeah. You know, and my youngest child was sitting there laughing, going, "Daddy, that's funny. Do it again."
Oh. Yeah. Yeah, and a chipmunk ate the bottom, you know, that rubber stripping along your garage door.
Yeah.
I was blocking them from getting into my garage, and he ate through the frickin' rubber stripping.
Do you?
So I
poisoned them.
Well, I soaked the whole bottom of the garage door in peppermint oil.
Oh, good.
Oh, okay.
And I think
now the rest of them will just come
too.
And eat.
Huh?
Now they'll just come and eat it.
They know.
They're just gonna lick it till it's.
No, they don't.
I'm doing something
they won't like
that.
It.
I have a bad chipmunk problem with me to tear up the backyard. So I want to actually get those little peppermints you get from the restaurants after dinner. I have like glasses full of these things all over the yard. And while I'm sitting there with my pellet gun waiting for the chipmunk to pop his head up, I eat the peppermints.
And then what?
I shoot the chipmunk.
Oh, jeez.
That's not very metaphysical.
No.
I mean, the peppermint at least, you know.
I
mean,
I saved a worm yesterday.
You saved? No, no, no.
I saved a worm.
See, the thing is, though, I don't. Again,
you
I don't want to put
your personal life. Come on,
no.
I have.
This was a real worm going inside my throat.
Are you talking about Mark?
I felt really bad for this little worm.
Yeah, she's talking about
Mark. Are you at least using lead-free pellets in your gun?
Of course not.
Just checking.
Those are expensive.
Now we know where to send them.
But I make the kids wash their hands after they handle. But no, I don't want to put poison in the backyard because I do have a lot of animals that I do want to
keep.
I have a lot of birds back there. I mean, I have rabbits.
So
what
are you getting? Shooting chipmunks?
Yeah.
What would they ever do to you except chew up stuff?
They chew up stuff. They're in Sandy's car chewing up wires probably. Yeah. I worked at all little nuts are falling out of her hood. Yeah.
You know what? Well,
they do have little nuts.
Yeah. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. But
I'm going to see if the pepper.
You don't know if you killed Alvin, Theodore, and Simon. That's right.
No, I did because I've gotten about four this season.
No more Christmas albums.
No more Christmas albums.
More good news.
But the birds stay.
You beast.
The birds stay. The rabbits stay. I had a groundhog back there. He made a nice little home underneath
one
of the sheds.
What's going to happen?
He stayed. But the
giant chipmunk is going to come back and haunt you.
Oh, he's going to. Well, you leave the windows open in the morning and they're doing like nature's thing outside and you wake up the chipmunk humping and it's just annoying.
I've never seen a chipmunk hump.
Well, it's really quick.
You would pull that.
Kelly's like, they're doing stuff outside, you know? Yeah, it's really, it's over like that. But yeah, so that's our fun.
I'll let you know how the peppermint oil works. So I'm in my garage.
Well, I'm telling you, the peppermints are working nice. I mean, something to chew on while I'm waiting.
Yeah, but
why don't you put a peppermint in a water balloon and just hit him with that?
Yeah.
It is.
Oh, it's hard.
You can get them all wet, right? Your dream.
No, I want that with the hose.
Why don't you just squirt them with some peppermint stuff spray?
So I squirt them with
that would burn their eyes.
Yeah.
It's fully killing them. I think being a little blind is better than.
Well,
because then they get eaten alive.
Yeah, I'm doing it.
They're
only
blinded temporarily.
Well, you see people get these no-kill traps, and a lot of times.
I was going to say, why don't you get a big box or something?
Well, first of all, those things are expensive. Second, they don't work the best. And a lot of people, when they get these no-kill traps,
they forget to empty them.
Yes, they forget to empty them, A, or B, they literally, you watch them take them right in a bucket of water.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
What good is that?
Exactly.
No, you can take them and put them in someone else's yard.
That's what I used to do with the mice, and they would end up coming back.
You think all the Mark's chipmunks come out?
Yeah. Well, that's what happened. My neighbor put down stuff in his yard, some chemicals that repel everything. So now they're all coming to my yard. So I have, like, more than I usually allow.
I don't like this. Let's change direction.
Yeah.
This is the
why don't you get some feral
topic.
Cats and put in the backyard? There'll be no more chipmunks.
Well, I'm leaving the gate open for the bears.
Yeah, but bears don't bother eating chipmunks.
No, because they're too fast.
Unless they're blind.
Yeah.
So you're back to the pet monitor.
I know.
I think that's just a Scooby snack for them.
Oh, man. Scooby snacks. All right, cool. So let's jump right into it. Growing up
and
psychic.
That's how we started. We're off. Okay.
We're off.
Apparently chipmunks don't grow up. At all. Forget about psychic.
No, they've had a 7-year run in my yard.
If they were psychic, they would know when you were coming.
That's a colony then.
They do.
For 7 years.
Yeah, there's a lot back there. But all right, so growing up psychic versus developing your psychic abilities as an adult. We'll start off my personal belief is, and we've talked about this many times, everybody is born with a gift. It's just pretty much knowing how to unlock it and how to clear your mind and how to use it.
And if you want to.
Can I get an amen on that?
Yeah.
Oh. Testify, sister. But Hey, it's going to be one of those shows. Starting off with.
But, there already is.
But anyhow, we all agree that we all believe that everyone is born with a gift, and it just either unlocks itself on its own, or we have to take it upon ourselves to want to embrace it and unlock it ourselves. And that's where we have the two things here. Whereas we talked about Indigo Children about a year ago, and you know, these children, there is no training with them. They just have this knowledge. They're born with this knowledge, as opposed to somebody like me who has to unlock it down the road.
A lot of us are one of those types of children we talked about, but the ones that are being born, you know, now or even in the 2000s, I mean, it's just you're born at a higher vibration, so they're a little bit easier, and they're around people who are more or less open to helping them embrace it. Whereas when we were young, you didn't talk about this stuff, you know, it's not something you walked around talking about.
Oh no.
I think it's more acceptable now, you know, and even then we still have those who are a little bit closed-minded, so can't change who you are.
No, but you can better yourself, and that's what we do here.
Mm-hmm, yep.
Any other thoughts on that one?
Anybody else want to put in their little...
Amen.
Now I get the amen, brother.
Second.
Amen at a second. Mm-hmm. Wow. So being at that, I was going to say 347-633-9648. Again, 347-633-9648 is the number to call in. Have some fun. Please do not do a prank call. We don't really like those that much.
Yeah, we have enough of those.
We did have enough of those going on. So growing up psychic, I'll kick it off. As a kid, I never really experienced anything until I was probably in my preteens, 12 and 13. It's my mother passed away. And, you know, ever since then, when I was a child, I would feel a presence standing there, and it always freaked me out. And I remember I would run to my room, slam the door and say, no, you know, whatever it is, you're not allowed here. And I would get the night terrors where you would wake up and you feel like something is just right there. And I wouldn't want to open my eyes. I'd be awake. I said, I'm not going to open my eyes because there's something standing right above me. I don't want to see it. And after a while of saying, you know, I don't want to see it. I don't want this. I don't want that. You're not allowed here. It pretty much stopped. So I feel like, you know, maybe at one point it wasn't locked to me. And then consciously I said, no, I don't want it. I don't know. Do you think I just stopped it? What do you think? What do you guys think about that?
Well, because you were afraid.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And it's like, I mean, nobody wants to be afraid. And it's like, I don't know, when you said that, I sort of reminded me, and I never thought I had did anything when I was a kid, but I was sort of did exactly the same thing as you did. I wouldn't open my eyes because I knew there was somebody there. And I was like, I would get terrified.
Okay.
Yep. Well, I think when you're little, that's part of the problem. When you're small, you don't know what to do with it if there isn't somebody to talk to about it. And when you do talk to them, if they tell you there's nothing there.
Yeah.
No, it's not like now where a lot of the parents will start asking questions and say, oh, what are they telling you? Or what do they look like? Or, you know, they engage with their kids just to see what it is. You know, back then, most of us, you know, there's a point where you close it off just because, you know,
well, you're just having
you don't
a,
think
yeah.
about it as being acceptable. And you don't even know what it is at that moment. At that time, you don't know what it is. It's scary boogeymen and things like that, you know. So I think... part of it is when you're the like what the topic is tonight, when you're the parent of a child, it would have been interesting to have people who, you know, maybe they realized their children were psychic as they got older and they weren't a parent that really acknowledged it so that they could talk about that. You know, I mean, I would have had my own mom call in, but she isn't here anymore. But, you know, for myself, you know, now my children are 18 and 22 and they both have psychic abilities. My daughter more so, you know, for mediumship or spirits than my son. So I know as a parent of psychic children, it's not always easy for them to make them understand. And neither one of them they don't want to do what I do. They don't want it like that. So it's, you know, we went through some tough times when Caitlin was on the show and talked about it. It was a little bit of a rough patch there between, you know, 12, 13, 14, where she had a lot of spirits. She didn't know what that was. And she's an artist, so she was drawing them. But she didn't tell me how much she was seeing until it got so much that she couldn't take it anymore, you know, and then we talked about it and I told her, you have to acknowledge them because they're going to just keep collecting. And when you acknowledge them and pick one and ask them how to help them and see if you can help them. And she did it with a little girl. And then she told me I did it. And, you know, she told me she was, you know, she was a little girl that was burned in a fire. And she told her, I mean, she was Spanish. She drew her to a T. And then when she helped her and listened to her, she told her, go, you know, cross over, your parents or wait, your family's waiting for you. And she did, you know, so sometimes it's just helping them understand that, you know what, you're not imagining that, it really is there. And, you know,
well, she's lucky she had you, but then you are probably the reason she has this ability to begin with.
Well, it runs in my family, yeah. But they, you know, they know that I do this for work, but, you know, they don't, it's not like I go around talking 24/7 about, you know, seeing spirits and, or when I'm home and, you know, they, like Robbie had said, he goes, you know, you'd think with a mom like that, you know, I'd be, it would be a little more easier for me, or I'd understand a little more, but it doesn't work that way. You know, when you don't want it and you don't want to really use it, you just want to be a kid.
Yeah.
Some of them don't. Some of them want to embrace it and they want to.
Well,
you know,
now they do, because there's been so much publicity and there's been a couple of, what's his name? Chip Coffey, that has that amazing show about psychic kids.
Yeah.
He's so good with them, and it's like getting them to, and they take them away for a week, I guess, with somebody else that they haven't ever met, another child that has psychic abilities that's been terrorized by it or, you know, or kids are making fun of them, or they just don't know what to do with it. And they finally find out that there's somebody just like them too. And it's like, it opens them up to that. And the parents too. I mean, sometimes the parents are not always agreeable. Right. I mean, I'm not sure when I grew up, you know, if my parents even knew what it was, if there were, and certainly some people did, but I don't know if my parents did or not. They may have.
I don't think they do. That's the thing. I mean, I know next week we're talking about parents of psychic kids, but like, it's similar with the topic tonight where, you know, growing up psychic, it is weird, because if you grew up at a time where your parents weren't one that embraced that or understood it, though it was funny, when my mom used to say, if I said, you know, there's people in the closet, there's boogeymen, you know, my dad used to call them boogeymen. And, you know, every once in a while she'd say to me, well, what are they saying? You know, she'd like, you know, what do they look like, or what are they saying? And then she'd say, well, just ignore them. She'd tell me, think of flowers. Like, you know, that's what they do then. Mm-hmm. But she never said to me
that they weren't real.
Not there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was one thing, because my mom did believe in that stuff. She used to love watching Sylvia Brown and all that kind of thing. And, you know, it was interesting, but I never talked about it. And I never even talked about it with my sisters or anything. To me, it was just, you didn't talk about it. Because what if somebody, I did once. I don't remember who I told. I think I mentioned it last week on the show. One time when I was like, I think I was 6 or 7 years old, I remember running downstairs saying, I don't want to die. I don't want to die. I don't want to die. Because I remember waking up and I saw heaven. Like, I had seen heaven. And, you know, they're like, I'm going to take you to Greystone. Like, okay, I'm never doing that again.
Yeah, that's the insane asylum.
Back then, yeah. I mean, my God, that was in the 70s. So, you know, so.
It's not Tarzan's hometown, the Greystone.
No. And then, you know, as I grew up and kind of just knew things in school, and I remember I had a lot of deja vu. You know, a lot of times where I would go through something and be like, wait a minute, I did that
deja
already.
Deja vu a sign of it?
Yeah, all of that. Like, just, you
one
know.
One of the signs?
Yeah. It's just things where, you know, wait a minute, I did this already. It's almost like, you know, premonitions. And I would just get weird feelings about people. And I didn't know what to do with any of that then at all.
Did you guys all have deja vu, a lot of deja vu?
None.
Virgil?
Probably 3 or 4 times a week.
Yep.
That was me. I had it all the time.
I don't remember how often when I was younger, but I have it all the time.
Yeah.
The ones now are more... there's something not good about the ones I'm having.
Mm.
Like, something's getting close, but I don't know what it is. So I just kind of put them off.
It was just reliving the same event over and over again. And it's like, I think, wow, I have deja vu. Once I learned what the word was, I said, oh, I said it a lot.
Well, you know, sometimes I think too, when you're like, for me, every once in a while I would do stuff like with my friends, I'd say, you know, I, like say somebody was dating somebody, or I'd be like, oh, they're not, I don't know why I'd say it, but it would be like, I don't think they're going to stay together. And they're like, no, they're fine. Da-da-da-da. And, you know, because the minute somebody starts, I had a lot of friends that started answers and replies like that. Like, no matter what you said, the first word they give you is no. No, it's blah, blah, blah. It can never be, oh, it could be that way. Or really? It was automatically no. So that got ingrained in me when I was younger. Like, I didn't do it any. I never bothered saying
it. So did they ever say, well, come back to you?
No. We don't want to hear that from you. Is that what you're saying?
No, they would say, no, that's not going to, no, they're
but,
fine. No, that's not going to happen.
But what happens,
you're
wrong.
What
yeah.
You're
yeah, but what happened when it always happened? You were right.
Nothing. Sometimes they would say it was a good guess or, you know, yeah. Very rarely once in a while they'd say, you know, oh, you know, you were right. But there were a lot of times where it was just never even acknowledged and I never would bring it up again or even say, told you. I wasn't like that when I was very shy. And
well, you're not even like that now, actually.
No, I wouldn't, and I would never do that. I'm not like that.
That reminded me. I used to tell people what sex their child would be, but then a couple of people didn't react very well to it, so I stopped doing it. But well, it was just an impression. It wasn't like I wasn't sitting there meditating. Oh, is this a boy or a girl? It was the first thing that popped into my head.
See, I just got a feeling this is what you're gonna. I bet you it's gonna
no,
be.
No,
a...
it would just come out. I'd say you're gonna have a beautiful boy or something. Mm. And they're like, well, how do you know? I said, oh, just wait and see.
Mm. That's yeah, funny. I learned as I got older not
to
offer it.
People didn't want to know.
Well, now
I mean, people don't want to know now,
right?
And they can find out. So.
Well, I think that's why, as you know, as I got older and started doing this more, you know, as my life, I learned that you know not to offer that unless somebody asked for it or unless I was really getting told like, no, you need to tell them something, because we at that time we don't know not to do that. You know, it's just part of us, and then I think what happens is we stuff it. You know, and then either way, I always tell people there's little things that go on, even if you didn't have any of those abilities when you were young, even if you did nothing that you think had to do with psychic stuff, there's usually a part of you that has an interest in the odd or the strange or the unusual or figuring it out or trying to debunk it or just anything, even if it's just reading stories, maybe they would catch your eye if you saw it. And I was always, you know, in awe of anything that had to do with the paranormal and detective work and UFOs and Bigfoot, like you name it, anything that was odd, weird, and unusual. You know, I wasn't playing with Barbie dolls. So I was always into that weird stuff, you know.
I was too, but I wasn't a psychic kid at all. You know, in fact, I'm coming to it really late in the game. But when we talk about this, those things did happen to me when I was a kid. So like you, I was always interested in it. And things happened that I would just, things happened. You know?
That's cool. So a lot of you can talk about how you don't need to have been psychic when you were a kid or really have even been aware that you were, but how you, when you, things started to change and you kind of, you know, got into that you were able to develop, you know, like you know, especially you guys that come to class. I mean, I've seen huge, huge change. Especially Charlie in a couple of years, because like Charlie said, he was always more of the skeptic, you know, but he was never closed-minded. Yeah. So that's what I think, because you were open to,
well, you came here for a reason.
Let me give you an idea what happened today. I work the morning and I go to lunch and I figured, let me get on Facebook, see what's going on out there. And one of my Facebook friends who lives somewhere down in Texas, she was on, and I guess she saw that, you know, we do investigations and all of that. She started asking me questions about, you know, there was a video and it showed some woman. She looked like she actually got possessed within a supermarket or, you know, something. Things started falling down off a shelf. One there, you know, one here, one there.
Wow.
And she went to put them back. All of a sudden, she was like, really off the wall. And luckily, the store manager or whoever was associated with the store was sitting on the floor with her and just holding her, calm her down. And a few other people came and they did. They helped her. But my friend's sister says, do you believe this stuff? I said, well, I doubt it, but I'm not saying that it couldn't happen. I said, you know, you never know. And all of a sudden, I started getting ideas for this woman that I was talking to on Facebook, texting. And I said to her, I think I said something like, your mom passed a while ago? And she goes, yeah, why do you ask? And I said, I feel like she's asking me about you in the yellow dress. And she sits there and she goes, yellow dress? She goes, I had a yellow dress that she loved. It was a crocheted dress that my aunt made me. And I said to her, your aunt? I said, this wasn't your mother's sister, right? This was somebody else, right? It wasn't like a blood relative. She goes, well, it was like a second cousin that we called aunt. So now I'm picking little things up here, right? And she's starting to ask me questions and this and that. And I said to her, I said, you know, your mom's not the only one that's around you all the time. And she goes, really? I said, yeah. I said, there's a really short, older gentleman, bald, dark skin, with white hair. And he kept showing me like his heart. Every time he looked at her, he kept showing me his heart. So obviously he loved her a lot. And I told her that. And she says, my grandfather, she was freaking amazed. And, you know, she was just so enamored. And I'm sitting there and I'm saying to myself, I'm doing this at lunchtime. I'm sitting here eating lunch and I'm throwing this stuff out to her. And
to a woman you've never met.
I've never met.
But you did good
met.
Last night, too. We've been working on mediumship for a couple of weeks now. So.
Dana was amazing with the stuff she came up with on me. And, you know, you sit there and you just, you know, it takes a while for you to realize that you don't need what's in your head. Because if you empty your head, somebody else will fill it for you.
Yeah.
So just sit there and wait for it to be filled. And it's just, you know, you sit there and you're like, I came to this, 4 years ago? 5 years ago?
Yeah, five almost now.
Five almost now. So I was right around, you know, that age. I was older.
Known you but, guys a long
yeah,
time.
But the idea, no, it's no big deal. I was like 58, 57, somewhere around there. And the only thing I told you, the only thing that I had when I was a kid was I looked in the mirror and I was looking at myself and I saw like a gold sheen around me. And I said to my mom, I said, when I look in the mirror, what's that? What do I see that gold thing? Do you see that? She goes, you're not supposed to see that. So stop looking in the mirror. So I said,
you're
okay.
You're not supposed to see
that. Well,
yeah.
That's what she said that. You're not supposed to see it. So I used to do everything. Believe me, I was a kid that parents would love to have because whatever your parents said,
you did
that's
the
what
opposite.
I did. No, I did. I did exactly what they told me. I was always the good kid. My sister pointed that out to me this week.
What happened to you?
I don't know. I turned 40. And after that, it was all hopeful.
See what happens when you listen?
I'm telling you. But I told Jackie that, and Jackie says, well, that was you seeing an aura around yourself. I was like, oh, okay. And now you try to see auras, and you don't, but you really got to work at it. Yeah,
yeah,
you're trying. But I'm sitting there saying, like last night, we had our class. You empty your head out, and who was it in class that sat there and said, oh, I just have to try to keep my mind clear, you know?
Oh, Darlene.
Darlene. And you know what? Keep your head clear. And like I said, if you empty out your head, somebody else will fill it in. So
yeah.
That's what happened. And it was a great night last night. I went home feeling great. I felt like last night was one of those classes that actually it was like a small defining point.
Mm-hmm.
You actually felt like you were doing something, you know, you were getting somewhere. The week before, not so much. The week before, I felt like I had been hit by a truck and I'd never see anything ever again. But
yeah, but you didn't do bad in class. But sometimes it depends where we are. Yeah.
It depends where your head's at.
Yeah.
But last night I felt like it was good. And, you know, you sit there and you say, when can you start this? Well, I wish I would have started back when I saw the glow around myself when I was a kid.
Yeah.
But back then, you know, I have a Hungarian background. My parents were gypsies. They didn't want me to see any type of aura around my, you know, no, no. Put the wagon away, get the horses in the back. No.
We're done with this.
Yeah. But, you know, today you start working on it. it does. It makes a huge difference on how you can talk to people, mm-hmm. how you can relate to them,
how
you can
even
read
look at
them.
Life,
yeah.
You know,
well,
your perspective.
Your perspective in certain areas.
Dealing with things in general.
Absolutely. But I don't want to hog the mic. You said
no,
you had a call. A
we you
like
made our you made our switchboard light up like crazy. So right. Yeah, people, if we don't get to you in time, don't hang up and leave. Don't worry, we'll get to you. If your number, we're gonna pick one. I'm gonna pick eeny meeny miny you. If your number ends in 2911, welcome to the show.
And
so caller,
what are you wearing?
Yeah, caller 2911. How you doing?
Good. Thanks for taking my call. How are you?
Good, good, good. And your name is?
My name is Kerri.
Oh, Kerri, K-E-R-R-I?
K-E-R-I.
Look at that. I was pretty close. I was using Common Core spelling.
He's psycho.
I missed class last night, so I got the double R on that. But, so what can we do for you tonight?
I was intrigued by the show topic. I'm a first-time listener and a first-time caller.
All right.
You know, I've had a period of transition, I think you'd say, over the past 2 years. In rapid succession, I've lost quite a few loved ones. As a young child, I did have a near-death experience. And I don't know. It's like I think I've always sort of been very intuitive myself. And at the precipice of whether or not to further the abilities that I believe I have. And sort of between the discernment regarding the signs and the messages that we get in everyday life and the true inherent knowledge that I feel I have, I'm sort of on the brink of that. So that's why I was calling in, obviously, to see if you have any messages from spirit or loved ones or any guidance with me, like for me with this process.
I would say go for it. It's you have nothing to lose from opening yourself up to becoming more intuitive or just boosting your own abilities. It's a great thing. It's a way to help others. It's a way to help yourself. It's just a way to make the world a little better place. For me, right off the bat, I say go
meditation.
With it. Meditation. Jackie says meditation, meditation, meditation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Clear your head,
you know,
so someone else can fill
I've
it.
Done intermittently, I think, just through on my own throughout the years before all of this kind of transpires. And I'm sort of not an unsettled time, but, you know, still going through some of the things that come with death and the passing of loved ones. And, you know, like a whole new life, I think, has just unfolded for me. I'm 30. I'll be 31 this August. I'm married. I have someone in my life now. And it's just sort of a whole new beginning, if you will. And almost looking back in hindsight, it's like, okay, what's the greater message in all of this? You know, through tragedy comes triumph, but more than that, how can I really fulfill my passion or my spiritual path?
Easiest thing you can do is
follow
what I do.
Follow your intuition.
You follow your intuition and make one person smile each day. Start off nice.
Beautiful.
Except, follow your intuition. Be grateful for what you have. Gratitude is the attitude, is what we always say, right?
Mm-hmm.
Kerri, what part of the country do you live in?
I live in Rhode Island.
Oh, Rhode Island.
Hey, what are you doing July 9th and 10th?
That's a long ride.
That's a good time. That's a celebration of all sorts for me, to be honest with you.
Nice. No, we if you stick around for the whole show, we'll do a little bit at the end, but we have our big yearly festival coming up. Right up here in North Jersey. So Rhode Island's not too far. We do have a couple rooms booked at the hotel since Kerri's a first time.
And where was
that?
Camping.
Again, it's camping, yeah, right in North Jersey, in Augusta, New Jersey, the Sussex County Fairgrounds. But we'll get to that at the end of the show.
Jersey. I was a flight attendant back some time ago. So.
Wow. See, it all comes full circle.
Did you live in Vernon or where?
I had to live close to the airport, so unfortunately I lived around the Cranford Elizabeth area, but
all right.
She probably lived
across the street from our buddy Bruce Tango. All right, but yeah, definitely follow your intuition. Seek out some sort of psychic development. See if there's any in the area for you. Jackie, do we offer a distance psychic development yet or no? Not yet. We're working on it.
No, but even they can do that on their own just through meditation and looking up some, you know, just techniques and skills they can do
on YouTube.
You know, yeah.
Yeah.
There's lots of things. There's a lot of meditations on YouTube, and there's ones for opening your third eye, you know, so.
Yeah.
You know what works, and Charlie will swear by this. Have a friend put 5 items in a box. one of the exercises Jackie always has us do in psych development classes is she used to take a box, and she wouldn't say what's in it, put some things in it, and she'll just think about it. But then, to screw with us, she would think about other things, too, to throw us off.
Well, things that she didn't put in the box.
Yeah, she didn't put in the box. But it's amazing when you start getting them down pretty good. But yeah, definitely follow your intuition. Make somebody smile each day. Have the attitude of gratitude, and you should be on your way to greatness there.
Perfect.
And keep listening.
Yeah.
Perfect. All right. Anybody else have anything to add for that? All right, Carrie.
Thank you, Carrie.
Thank you, Carrie.
All right, thanks, Colin. All right, excellent. I like that. So helping people out, always a good thing. So
That's nice to hear that, you know, she's actually looking to develop it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She's not sitting back and just wondering, you know, this and that. Because, well, first off, I never would have thought of developing anything.
I was thinking the same thing.
Right? When we came down here, we were looking for ghost investigations.
Yeah. Yep.
And then the more you get involved, the more you start realizing, you know, spirits, you know, what have you, how can you communicate with them? They're trying to communicate with you, stuff like that. And it just makes more and more sense. And, I've got a customer where I work. He's a Catholic priest, the sweetest guy you'd ever want to meet. I'm telling you, he is great. And in fact, today I just made an appointment with him in about 2 weeks to go talk to him, just sit down and talk with him at lunchtime and get to know him better, let him get to know me better, ask some questions. But I told him I did ghost investigations. And he was fascinated.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about it. And he, you know, I said, well, you know, you talk about the Trinity, you talk about, you know, spirits, the Holy Spirit, whatever. I said, you know, the people go someplace after this. And he goes, oh, absolutely. And I'm, you know, it was like I was preaching to the choir.
Mm-hmm.
Because,
yeah.
You know, he knows. And you sit there and he was just, it's amazing because I would think that even somebody like himself would probably be interested to see what the outcomes would be as far as you communicating. Because he told me himself, he says, well, I can't communicate with spirits. He says, I pray, I do this, I do that. He says, but I never got any answers. And I told him about a couple of times where I actually heard voices of family members. And he was just astonished. And he sits and he goes, can anybody do that?
Yeah.
And I said, well, no. And I said, yeah, of course. But it takes time. It takes, you know, understanding. You have to really try to tune in and you have to work at it. And he was, well, again.
Is he going to come to class?
I think that's off way in the future. Way in the future. Retirement's probably first on his way before that. But it's just the fact that, you know, I've been going to a Methodist church for quite a while. And basically they say, oh, don't do anything with ghosts. No, it's bad. Just don't do it.
Mm.
Why? You know,
but why?
Because they can't think straight half of the time. But I was so astonished. No, I'm serious. I was so astonished that somebody from the Catholic religion would be so open. And I talked to him about the fact that you had interviewed a Catholic priest about exorcism.
Yes.
And he was totally open about that.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? When you get somebody who's very spiritual, as he is, and he can talk to you, actually, you know, on a spiritual sense and also on an intellectual basis, and he's got information and he knows, you know, what he's talking about, it really makes an interesting topic for the fact that everybody's looking for the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't care who you are. Is there life after death? Mm-hmm. Can I talk to my mom? Can I talk to my dad, my grandfather, my grandma, whoever? You know,
when I go, can I talk to people back here?
Yeah. Can I communicate back here? Houdini wanted to communicate with people back here.
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody's actually contacted Houdini, but, you know, his wife was trying to get him for the longest time.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea here is that if you know it's, you know, first off, I already knew that there was something there because of my religion. But a lot of people don't. My dad didn't. My dad thought when this life ended, that was mm-hmm. it. And I said, Dad, you're kidding me, right? He said, you think that's it? And he goes, yeah, that's it. I said, okay. You know, and it might be for you. But the idea here is that with what we've done with ghost investigations, I would say that there's got to be something else out there.
Oh, yeah.
There's something else out there. And when you find something and you hear things, you know, what's this axe used for or whatever, you know, and you all of a sudden you get an answer and you sit there and go, okay, I think I heard that one. Yep, I heard that answer. Pretty interesting. But anyway, I'm done. Sorry.
No worries.
I don't want to keep going.
You actually made me think of something when you talked about a Houdini. Do you remember, I think Geraldo did this back in the 80s on TV. He tried a Harry Houdini seance. Mm-hmm.
Did he really?
It was live on.
I only remember the vault.
The vault, yeah. It was right around the same time they did the Capone vault, and he was going to do the Harry Houdini. It was live on TV, and it was a total flop, but
well,
it was for the wrong reasons. That's
yeah,
why.
Exactly. Come do that at the fest.
Yeah.
We ought to call him.
That would be cool.
You know, is Geraldo on this side of the country?
Well, you know.
Oh, I thought you meant the veil. I was going to say, yeah, yes, he is a guy. Yeah.
Actually, Geraldo was a went to the same school as I did for a little bit. And
really?
I think his kid goes there now, too. Yeah. Hmm. Oh, he's always big donation.
Nursery school?
What? No, it's same college. He didn't
really?
He last that long there. Back then, he was Jerry Rivers, just a sea cadet.
Okay, but you know what? I got to say this because I have always.
Is that his real name?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Jerry Rivers. But I always thought that.
Wow.
I never really thought much of him because of everything he's done recently,
yeah.
The Apprentice, and you know stuff like that. And but he was a hell of a reporter way back when they first went out to what was that, Brookhaven or what was the name of that place with all the handicapped people and I mean hell of a reporter.
He'd be a good ghost hunter.
Well, I think he would be, but yeah, you know, he's got to stop smiling so much.
I wonder if he's psychic.
I bet you is.
He might have grown up psychic, or he might have gone to development.
Maybe. Have
we ever done a show on like celebrities that are psychic? Not celebrities that see psychics, but if there's any celebrities that feel they have abilities or they tap into the metaphysical and things like that.
We could, but we don't have any celebrities to talk to about that. Well, I mean, besides James, I mean, are you talking about like people that don't do this for a living?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Well, yeah, people who do other things besides that, but they have psychic abilities.
So, like, if Henry Winkler was psychic as a child.
Yeah, I mean, there's got to be some. I know that we always.
You met him.
Well, we always read about the ones who are
what about
in
John
the,
Boy
who
Wong?
Are into the metaphysical.
John Boy.
John Boy.
Stevie Nicks is into the metaphysical things. Like,
yeah, but you'd expect that.
Celebrities who are.
Yeah.
I see a lot
of celebrities and I see a lot of psychics.
There you go.
Does that help?
That works. We put them
all
together.
You can be our first guest.
But going back.
You got the first half hour.
Wow. No pressure.
So pulling this train back on the tracks here, back growing up psychic. Again, so Jackie.
What about developing it we did a lot on that. What about when you're getting older?
When you're getting older, well, that's the thing. Some people.
Or did I cut you off? Were you going to ask me a question that might have helped somebody?
Pretty much, but the train of thought is gone.
I was told to ask if there was something that might have helped somebody. So, but I didn't want to cut you off. Go ahead.
It's all right. I completely lost my train of thought now.
You were like, so Jackie.
Speaking of grown up psychic. I really did lose that train of thought. I guess
I didn't use it. I shut it off, and then got married, had kids, and closed it off. I mean, obviously, I guess I was using my intuitive side for my own stuff, but I was busy raising a family, and I didn't use anything. And if anything was weird, I just kind of blew it off. And then as your life moves on and things happen, and all of a sudden you get back into it again and use it. And then I just chose to go that path 100%.
Okay.
And so it was like a lot of people do that. A lot of people close it off when they're young and they don't ever use it again for 20, 30 years.
Yeah.
You know, some people lose it.
Yeah. That's a scary
part. That's another one, you know, because maybe they're not doing their intent or things like that. And, you know, I'm making noise because I'm
like, it messes your life up.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Especially now with
you
today.
You want to hear about that?
Yeah. I want to hear about that. Tell me about it.
Not too messed up.
Well, how messed up do you want me to
get? Not too messed up.
Really messed up.
Yeah.
When I was younger, I used to see things and tell people things that would happen. And I think I frightened people. Mm-hmm. So they just left me alone. And I was by myself with it most of the time. And part of it was it wasn't that it wasn't encouraged. I know my mother has always said to me that it frightened her. Mm-hmm. So she was scared of that, Although, finding out later on, she was playing with the Ouija board too in the house.
Ooh.
But her great aunt came up with her own version of the Ouija board. And I just heard a story about this today,
mm-hmm.
where they would cut letters out and put on a table.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they were doing this while I was like 1 or 2 years old in the house, I guess.
That's what happened.
And, well, it was happening even before that. It started from the minute I was in the house and talking to my relatives. It was happening before I was even born. Because my great aunt who owned the house was very into mediumship and tarot cards and seances and all kinds of stuff. So anyway, back to the story, they did one of these sessions in my grandmother's house, and the glass spelled out beware of Jean, and then the glass flew off the table and it went about 15 feet in the house. And didn't break.
Beware of Jean?
Yeah, Jean or Virgil.
No, Jean. Jean was my father's mother's first name.
Huh. Your grandmother.
Wow.
Yes.
Beware of her.
Now, hearing that, it gave me more insight into the relationship between my mother and my grandmother, because obviously, if that happened to anyone, it would frighten them.
Yeah.
Now, was it something malevolent my first impression was it was something trying to cause problems between the family.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily that you had to beware that my grandmother was going to do something, but putting that thought in my mother's head changed everything.
Hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Or maybe it was the other way. I'll never know unless I contact whatever it was. But from my perspective, I stopped talking to people about things. You know, or it would come out, I wouldn't be thinking. Like when I was in high school, when I was 16, I got in the car after football practice. And I looked at my mother and I said, it's all over. She's gone. I don't even remember saying it. I have no memory of it. And that night, my great aunt died, the aunt who left me my house. I knew she was in the hospital. I knew she had had a stroke, but people sometimes linger for a long time with a stroke. They, mm-hmm. you know, they weren't necessarily going to die that night, but somehow, and that was the last thing on my mind. And I have no memory of it whatsoever. But I know a lot of times how it would mess me up is I would get a feeling that something was wrong. But it put me in a very embarrassing spot because I couldn't do something I was expected of me. You know, it could have been playing sports. It could have been anything. And I would try and avoid those things unless I was forced into doing them. And it changed my whole life. Situation from situation. And it's been a snowball effect. So to me, it's not all, it, for the most part, it's not really helped me other than maybe kept me out of danger once in a while. So it's not been a fun thing for me.
Well, I think it's your environment. I think that's a good point you're making, because I think it, you know, like we're talking about, when you don't have a very supportive.
Yeah.
I mean, some people, if they have supportive, if you're somebody whose abilities, like Virgil's, tend to focus more on like being told negative things or things that are coming, then it's harder. I have clients that are like that. That's the information they get, and it's very difficult on them emotionally. And
well, there's no one to
even,
there's no one to even share it with. And I'm realizing that the majority of the things that happened to me, I never even told anyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well,
and this, and I was keeping them to myself when I was 3 or 4 years old. So yeah. It wasn't, you know what I'm saying? I knew then not to say things.
And sometimes we block those things out that we didn't say. Do you know how many people, myself included, who block things out that they didn't even remember until they did something where it was either, you know, hypnosis, past life, or where another medium or a psychic talked to them and said, do you remember when you did this? That's what that was. Mm-hmm. Because it was an incident that happened that either people didn't want you to talk about or it scared you so much when you were little that you almost automatically blocked it out.
Well, what's
you
know, odd about me is that the good things I did are blocked. It's like something blocks them.
Yeah,
from
probably
me.
Because of the traumatic ones that you had.
I don't know what the reason is. Maybe I'll never know. Maybe I'll leave this place without knowing. I don't know. But it's another side of this that people don't really talk about a lot. And like I remember I was talking with my sister a few months ago, and she goes, well, you saved my life twice. I said, what are you talking about? And she goes, well, once I got stung by all these bees, and I'm allergic to bees too, and I guess I went over and picked her up in the bees and carried her in the house and got her away from the bees.
Mm.
I have no memory of that. None whatsoever. You might as well have told me I was, you know, I was Hercules or something. I have no memory of that. And then the other story, which is even stranger, is I remember we got a German Shepherd puppy, and the dog was extremely strong. I mean, when it was like 2 months old that was dragging 3 cement blocks behind it. So you had to keep it tied to a tree or something. And we were walking it in the front yard, and it took off towards the road. And I remember holding onto the leash and thinking that dog, and this is where the premonition was, but it's always, like Jackie said, it's about something negative or terrible.
Yeah.
And I was like, if I don't let go of this dog, I'm going to get hit by the car too.
Well, it's almost like some people get things more finishing in this life.
Yeah. Well,
you know, so I shouldn't say negative because it's usually when people are going home.
But for me, a lot of it is negative. You know, I don't think that dog wanted to go home. You know, he was just playing. And I remember thinking it's me and the dog or the dog, you know, and I had to let go because it was pulling me into the traffic. Now, that's how I remember it. Clear as day as I'm talking to you now. But my sister says she was walking a dog and I came over and grabbed her and kept her from being pulled out into the road.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, so I have things like that.
It's one thing after another like that, you know, and it just, it wears on you. And sometimes it just becomes too much. The only way I can even clear it is to go in the woods.
Well, there's a lot of people that get, sometimes, just so listeners don't think, you know, when we were young, we had all bad stuff. Yeah. It's just because.
Well, no, that's my example. I wanted them to know that.
But sometimes, you know, even when we're talking about when we're young and people didn't really support us, we didn't get to do what people get to do now, or kids get to do now, I should say. So I don't, you know, sometimes it's good for us, but I think it depends on our age. Some of us didn't grow up where it was, you know, something you talked about all the time, you know.
Well, that's the odd thing. They wanted to talk about it until they got scared. Then they'd stop.
Well, that's good.
But you were grew up in a family that had a lot of strange things.
No, there was activity going on both sides of the family.
Yeah.
And for generations before me.
That's right. So there was a whole history of this.
There was a different dynamic there.
Yeah.
And I was almost like, guess what he thought of today? You know what I'm saying? It was almost like I was a toy or something. It was very strange. And I think I realized right away I backed off from it because a lot of the stuff I didn't talk about. It wasn't so much, and I never stopped talking about it. If anyone ever brought it up, like when I got to read Chariots of the Gods and get old enough to see these things on TV, it was like, there is a place for me. You know what I mean? Because that's all I thought about was stuff like that since I was here. And I never stopped talking about it until people would say, "You scared us, stop talking." And then I would stop. But it's gone on my whole life.
It consumed you.
In a way, it's everywhere.
I'm glad you're here now, Virgil.
Yeah.
Really.
Well, what do you think about people in young ages that shut it down just because maybe they're just not ready for it or they're not ready mentally for it? And then
I think they would be if they had a supportive environment.
Mm-hmm.
I think they would be ready for it.
I don't think you're ever ready to see negative things all the time.
Well, not negative things.
Negative,
you know what I'm saying?
No,
no matter
but,
what
but,
you do.
Right. But I think there was something, you had a specific thing going on in your family dynamic that was, you know, I think a little harder to bear.
Yeah, whatever was there didn't want me to leave the house I grew
right.
up in. And I always called it warned, but my mother referred to it as threatening, that it warned me not to leave that house or else.
But I think most
or else, because since I left that house, things have been completely haywire.
But I think most kids don't have that kind of experience.
Yeah.
I don't know what kind of support, like if I had a child that was going through this, I wouldn't even know what to tell them, other than you can get through it.
Then you should tune in for next week's show.
And you don't have to take it personal, but you know, when I can remember when I was 4 or 5 years old, I saw this jet fly above the house. I was playing in the front yard and all the people were screaming inside the jet. Their faces are pinned against the window. And it was terrible. I don't think I ever told anyone.
Yeah.
I still, to this day, to me, it was as real as anything. It had an orange stripe down the side and a smaller blue stripe. It had the little oval porthole windows, but it was only flying 200 feet above the ground.
So
I could
color,
see people's pictures.
Whose
could,
colors of the airline was that?
I don't know. I never really looked it up. I'll have to look it up.
To see if there was a...
But I watched that, and what drew me to the plane was the roar of the engines, because it was all of a sudden it was so loud.
Yeah.
And I looked up, and there it was, and they're all looking out at the windows at me. And it scared me to death, because I knew I was afraid it was going to land on the house, first of all. And I froze looking at it, and I can still see those faces. In the window, they were scared to death. And it was just going about this fast. And then it disappeared over the railroad tracks. I never heard a crash. I never heard anything, and I don't know the exact date. It had to be between 62 and 65 when this happened, 66 maybe. But it was, you know, I would see stuff like that all the time.
Yeah. It's, well, my thing is, you know, when you just have, just growing up as a kid too, it's scary. You have nobody to talk to.
Yep.
And even if it's something positive, it's still scary. You have nobody to talk to. And kids, parents will see kids, you know, with your imaginary friends. And, well, you'll grow out of that phase. They kind of push them out of it too. Hmm. But it's like, yeah, where is that nurturing environment? And as a parent too, I mean, some parents, they don't want their kids seeing stuff. If some parents don't believe in it.
Oh, and yeah, religion's prohibited. A lot of, if people were in that, you know, frame of mind.
So imagine now you're a child and you have all these things against you. Your religion is telling you, no, you're wrong. Your parents are telling you, no, you're wrong. Your friends are telling you, no, you're wrong. Now, what do? Do you keep pushing or you just shut it down?
Well, what about when you decide to use it when you get older and your friends are telling you, no, you're wrong?
Exactly, yeah.
No, you can't do that. You don't.
But
you're not
by
really
that,
that. You're
but
a
that,
fake.
But that by that time, you know what you know.
Well, I think the people know, but you know, I have a lot of clients that come in that tell me that, you know, they alienate a lot of people. Their family doesn't want anything to do with them. Their friends think they're fakes and that they're making it up and that they're just crazy because they didn't know them that way. And some of them had their friends for 30, 40 years, you know, and they're older, you know, they're in their 50s or 60s and they're sitting across from me and it's like they are losing everything. They feel like they're losing everything because they're torn between that. Being drawn to developing their abilities and wanting to become more spiritual, metaphysical, and the need to fit into that bubble of what they've always been seen as, because people don't want to believe them because they never talked about it and they never, you know, they never said they could do those things.
But
you know?
If they want to progress on this plane, they're gonna some things will get left behind.
Oh yeah, you filter all the time, and you know they either come with you or they don't. And you know what? You outgrow them. It's not even you. Your vibration rises and then it goes separate. And I always tell people, don't let anybody tell you what you are and what you're not.
Right.
If you're really true to yourself and being your authentic self, you're going to, if you're meant to be a messenger, you're going to be a messenger. If you're meant to just dabble and, you know, kind of develop more of your intuition so that you can follow more of your inner voice, then you're going to do it. But don't let anybody tell you that. I get the people who one minute, you know, they're an everyday person. Next minute, they're the Long Island medium. That's different. Or, you know, Kim Russo or Sylvia Brown or something like that. Because we've come across those people too. And, you know, they take one class and the next thing you know, they can go set up shop and charge $300 an hour. So, you know, we've run across a lot of people like that too. And I have people who come in and talk about their friends or their family that are like that also, you know. And they're like the quiet one who... You know, they're kind of on their own, just, you know, doing their stuff slowly. And like maybe their brother, you know, all of a sudden he's one that's like, oh, I'm going to go set up shop and I'm going to do this. You know, and I understand everybody has so many different aspects of this that they're trying to work through. And, you know, you really just need to honor yourself and, you know, like I said, be true to yourself. And, you know, you got to start from bare bones sometimes, you know.
Personally, I find that it's freeing and I'm happier than I've ever been. And it's, I'm more accepting of people, more, less judgmental of people and more open to, you know, to people around me, but still staying on my own plane and enjoying what I'm doing and being, I'm calmer. I think I'm calmer. I don't know if it's like with all of this stuff. And this is like because I joined this, you know, I have people around me that I trust, and meaning here, and learning, you know, exercises, learning to do this stuff. It isn't, you do have to work at it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it does take a little bit of effort, and but not a lot of effort. But each
it's
day.
It's consistency.
Yeah.
And, you know, diligence and the passion to want to do it and be open to it. You know, if you do development once every 6 months, or, you know, you're going to meditate once in every 6 months, you're not going to grow your abilities. You can have, everybody has abilities and you can think you're doing things on your own to do it. But I'm being serious here. If you're not somebody who every time you come home from work, there's a certain amount of time you sit and you meditate, or, you know, maybe it's how you're living. Maybe it's where your intent is. Maybe it's things you're doing during the day, or, you know, being mindful of tapping more into your sixth sense and that type of thing. And I think that's the part where, you know, when people talk about that stuff, that's hard for them when they're every day. Okay, I take this much time and I meditate and I do this. And my friend is sitting there saying she doesn't have to do anything. She can do this and this and this. You know, and I guess they get frustrated, you know.
Well, remember you called me last week and I'm sitting in the grocery store parking lot for 10 minutes meditating.
Yeah.
And that's when you called me.
Mm-hmm.
I said, guess what I'm doing?
Yeah, it was funny.
Because I had the radio on and it was just a free space there for for a few minutes. I really laughed. I thought that I actually tried it. And it was a good place to do it, you know.
Would you think there's a difference in... We'll call it the end product of someone that as a child has grown up and just kind of gone with it and has no real training, but has the skills that didn't really refine them, as opposed to somebody that later in life comes in and says, hey, you know, I have the bug for this. Let me take some psychic development. Do you think there's a difference in the end product of the information they get or the quality?
If they're younger and they kind of just went with it as natural as, you know, it's your sixth sense, no different than using any of your others. And you just kind of went with it like we do our others. But if you think about it, all of our senses, we do spend time developing those. And, you know, we don't realize we're doing it. But when you go to school, you're learning a lot of things. And, you know, you're kind of learning to listen to people. And, you know, so if you think about it, in some way, we are usually, you know, working on those and doing physical therapy on those. So I think the difference is learning to control it, learning to understand it. A lot of people can have the abilities and that's the biggest thing with them. They usually don't know what to do with them or how to, like you just said, refine them or understand what they're getting, you know, or why they're feeling the way they are, why they feel like they're lost and why they feel like nobody wants to be their friend and why they feel like their life is falling apart when it's really just they're raising their vibration because they're becoming more spiritual or they're becoming more in tune with the universe, and those other people are staying the same and they're staying stagnant and they're like, oh, so I'm not like, you know, I'm not being a nut job and it's not that nobody likes me. It's just you're opposing energy sometimes and you don't see it. You don't have the same perspective anymore. You don't see that you're growing apart, you know?
It's like when you go to high school and you have your friends that they're never going to leave town and they're the same party guys, you know, drinking every weekend. You go away to school, you make something of yourself. You come back a couple years later, you see them, and they're still in the exact same spot.
Yeah, and you're at a completely different point
now,
in your life.
It's nothing wrong with what they're doing, but there's no relation to that anymore. Yeah, that's what you get with that.
Yep.
Cool. Virgil, you're looking at me with those eyes again.
Just looking.
Oh, teasing. Teasing, teasing, teasing.
So what do you think's changed since you've become more, and you know, developing your psychic side?
I was just listening to the conversation, and I was thinking of the... I guess it was a little over a year, maybe two ago, where my wife's cousin, that's my phone.
Yeah.
My wife's cousin had passed away. My wife's cousin's husband had passed away. And I got a message from him. And I told my wife, and she says, well, you need to tell her what you heard. So she was having after the funeral.
The week.
The repast.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the repast?
Yeah. And she was having that at her house. And Sandy kept saying, go ahead, tell her. So I grabbed her and I pulled her off to the side and I told her what I heard. And she just looked at me like... not like I had leprosy or anything, but she looked at me like in disbelief. And then she said, how did you even know that? And I said, I'm just telling you what came to me. And I really think it was Paul talking to me. And, you know, it was something about something that was in their room that was his. And I told her, she was just like, well, what else? I said, there's nothing else. That was the only thing I got. He came to me and he said that to me and that was it. And she, you know, I think when somebody's known you for a long time, let alone your whole life, but let's say somebody knows you for like the past 20, 30 years, whatever. and they have a certain idea of who you are and what you do, and like me, and then all of a sudden you come out with something like this that you got some sort of message, and they all of a sudden they look at you and it's almost like they're looking at you for the first time, saying, "Who? What'd you get? How did that happen? How did you get this message?" And basically, you can't tell them. You can, but they're not going to believe you. So you just sit there and say, look, you know, this is what I do. And every so often I get something. I think family members, relatives, whatever, they're probably, what do I want to say, most critical or doubting or I don't know. My family members were actually pretty open, but you could still see there was some like, What? You can hear stuff?
Yeah.
I mean, I never told anybody except my wife and the family that I had spoken to her brother after he passed. I never told anybody but my wife about the fact that when my mother-in-law passed in our house, that I could hear her son and her brother, you know, my mother-in-law's brother, talking to them, to her, saying, come on, let's go. You know, I'm sitting there and I'm like, what? Here it is 4:30 in the morning. And I'm like, what? You know,
and one thing to tell the listeners, like Charlie's clairaudient. So Charlie can hear. That means he can hear a lot of spirits. So
let's hope so. Let's hope there were spirits and I wasn't just going nuts.
That's an ability people can develop too.
Well,
you know, some people, if they're a little more in tune with the.
But, you know, sometimes you have to gauge your audience too. I mean, some of the people you tell, you can't tell everybody.
That's for sure.
But I mean, when you have a believer, you know, like
that's the first time
when we were in the bank and Chris was there. The fellow that one of the guys I work with that let us get into the temple that time. And we're standing in the lobby and a white ball of light comes down between the two of us and all of a sudden takes off to the left and we both followed it with our eyes, looked to the left, and then we looked at each other and said, "Did you see that?" And he was dumbfounded because I thought I was the only one that saw it. But once I came back to him and I saw him coming back and we both said at the same time, "Did you see that?" He was like on cloud nine. He was way past belief now at this point. So, I mean, when you know your audience, it makes a big difference.
Also, your audience can actually grow too, because my brother-in-law, very conservative,
mm-hmm.
and when his wife, my sister, passed, it's like I asked him, you know, I said, don't think I'm nuts, but did you ever did you see Diane, you know, and he said I did. I said you did. He said I was cleaning out the attic. And she came up, she was in the attic and she walked around the corner and stood there and looked at me. I said, did she say anything? He said, no, she just looked at me and smiled and then turned around and left. I said, were you dumbfounded? He said, I was dumbfounded. Because he's always thought I've been over the top about everything. And but now I can talk to him about these things. And before I never could, because he had a direct experience with his wife who he adored her, you know.
I think it helps a lot more when you come up with information validated or has some value to people.
Yes.
You know, for instance, when Charlie's telling someone something that he couldn't possibly know.
Yes.
That's of some value because that's possibly increasing their faith in this field.
Maybe.
But when you come up with things I tend to smell things a lot. That's of no value to anyone, you know, unless there's a gas leak or something.
Unless it relates to somebody.
Yeah.
But no, I'm saying I will smell 4 or 5 things every radio show, and most times I don't even bother. Like I'm riding down the highway and I smell roast beef sandwich in the middle of Route 80 or peanut butter.
Well,
maybe
it's one of your relatives.
Pastor Roy Rogers.
So what the hell does that have to do?
It's just usually a spirit. It's just a thing you're picking up that spirit's around.
That
you.
Can't be validated.
But you can't validate
only
that.
Only if it's yours. Only if it's
who do I validate it with?
No, if it's yours.
If you know somebody that had that use that smell,
you know, like,
for something.
Or that it was related to
if
them,
it's a specific perfume or something, yes. But if I'm smelling, if I all of a sudden I smell bananas, it could mean anything. Could be a guy died choking on a banana in a truck 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, usually,
how
usually,
the hell would I know?
It's usually something for somebody that you're around. They would, they don't just randomly pop through the truck and step next to you, is what
but,
I'm saying.
Well, I think that's what these smells are. I randomly pick them up. I don't go like.
I don't envy you.
I don't go 500 miles, well, 500 miles, 100 miles away.
Hey, at least it's not like a poop smell or something.
Sometimes it is. Sometimes I smell death. Sometimes I smell all kinds of weird shit.
Well,
but
yeah.
To me,
you must be driving on the turnpike.
But to me, these things, it's like a useless superpower. You know what I'm saying? Let's say I can make paint peel off a wall. Who's going to want me other than the guy that puts wallpaper up? You know what I'm saying? What good is it? Like what does the what's the end game of having that ability? It doesn't.
Well, no, it's just parcel of your package.
You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
Part of my package.
It's part of your.
That's funny, David.
But you know, you don't have.
So
to,
I got the smelling pack.
Yeah, you don't have to diffuse everything, but then you just so happens that you're a well-rounded kind of person.
This. Oh, in there.
There you go.
There you go.
I'm speaking off to the side.
You were too. We're getting too relaxed on the side of the
table. I was
getting
too excited about his package.
I'm glad someone is.
It sounded like you were under the table when you were talking for a second.
Would you guys like to be alone?
Man.
Where's the curtain?
You know what I mean.
Hold on, cue the porn music.
Learning. Yes.
Well, Virgil has his pants on. Thank God.
Sweatpants.
Easy access.
Oh my God.
Hey, you said lighten it up. Lighten this baby up. Oh, Jesus. Man. Right, so what were you just saying before you were under the table?
I have no idea.
Somehow, I'm still trying to figure out how the word package came in the deal.
No, what is he? Because he's got a whole round. He's got a lot of things that he's able to.
I bet he does.
Dude, she's using her hands. She's got a whole round, and her hands are
that's
like 9 feet apart.
I wish I could do a
the biggest
form.
Package
wow,
I've
Virgil.
Ever heard of.
A
he must
foot
be rich.
Long for just
Guinness
five
Book of
things,
World
though.
Records.
There's giant blood in that boy.
You need a wheelbarrow behind you.
In front of him. What do you mean behind him? In front of him.
All right.
All right. So
clean it up, guys.
For all you have kids listening, please send them to bed.
Get a sling, you know?
It's a
banana
slang.
Hammock.
No,
talking about developing a psychic ability,
a
man. Woo!
Serpent wrapped around his neck.
Whoa. It's his divining rod.
Anyway, the whole point is you personally experience something. I don't care what a skeptic you are. If you personally experience something, it's going to really open up your brain a little, if not a lot.
It does.
You know?
I agree.
And, Or you're gonna if you you can't deny some things you just can't deny that happened.
Now let me ask you something else here. We were talking about your environment and this and that. Do you think that there are certain parts of the country that are more apt and more open, as opposed to being totally
that.
Closed and against?
New Orleans.
Well,
yeah.
New Orleans is open. Yeah, we know that.
I would definitely say yes. When you have. Now, I'm not getting political or anything, but you have
Massachusetts.
When you have a very conservative area,
yeah,
no, they're not going to be open. Yeah, they're not going to be open to that.
Yeah,
but if you have a very again liberal or open area that is, you know,
well, wait a minute,
you don't have to be liberal. To be cultural.
You sit there about very religious. What about these people that don't believe in psychics and mediums yet? I don't know if they're Baptists or what, but they dance holding the rattlesnake.
Oh,
they,
I just
yeah.
think of that.
Come on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, they believe that. And
they believe
some
it.
Of them
you
die.
Know, I asked somebody once who was very religious, how can the church not feel that people could be psychic or medium if Jesus was a prophet?
Absolutely.
And they
exactly.
went to seers and things. And you know what they told
how about
me?
All the other prophets?
But you want to know what they told me?
Because
it was only okay for Jesus and it was only okay for them. So
break.
it's
yeah,
interesting.
But that list grows the more you read the Bible.
Yeah.
So
yes.
Oh, no, I know.
Yeah, right.
I know. And but they weren't saying it in a bad way. They were saying like that how they were raised to see it as.
Well,
it.
Yeah.
It's only okay for the ones that were in the
Even
Bible.
Even the exorcist was saying that, well, that's because that was the word of God coming through them.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
that's okay.
So the word of God can't come through anybody else. only in the people they wrote in the book.
Well, and
you know what I mean? Like,
well, there are other books.
So what if
too,
we had a book we've been writing for the last however many years?
Well, the problem is in the original books of the Bible, some of that was covered
in
the Dead Sea Scrolls. But
in the original books of the Bible, there were gods.
Yeah.
True.
God. We were created
plural. Yeah.
In our image, not his image, not the image of God. It was in our image that man was created. So there's a lot, but that could come down to how it was translated too. You know, when they did that doctrine, I can't remember the name of it, and the King James Bible version came out, they eliminated a lot of stuff that didn't fit their, you know, doctrine of the time.
Absolutely.
So how do you trust any of it?
Well, you got to think too, you know, if you think spiritually, Jesus was sent down here to save mankind. Well, gods, okay, how about going other places to save whatever kind they've got there? I mean, you know, we have to have a pretty narrow mind to sit there and think we're it. I mean, there's got to be way more than just us. And I have a feeling that when the second coming comes, he's going to be, whoever's going to be coming down to save us is going to be, you know, in the same type of situation, just trying to save us.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be other gods going elsewhere to save whoever else needs saving. And I think there are other gods. I don't think, you know, I don't think we're, for us, yeah, I think there's one.
Yeah, but I think they think we're speaking, the devil speaking through us.
Well,
now, here's
well,
what's interesting.
Who's saying
if
that,
the,
though?
Yeah. Some religious people. But if the devil were speaking through us, why would he want to help somebody?
Exactly.
Why would he want them to know something that, like, that their parent was with them or whatever, just to make them happy?
Well,
it's
one
a
of,
power play.
One of the real keys to the devil is for him to make you believe he doesn't exist.
Yeah.
So why? So if I'm a clever, I'm the devil's advocate for tonight. Unfortunately, no surprise, right? You would, if you're, let's say you're trying to hoodwink someone in a scam, you're going to give them something to get them to believe that you're, that they're actually helping you, that you're going to get some, if you're investing in something, you're going to get, they're going to send you a check or two until they reel you in and then they take everything from you. I think that's part of that thought process.
For me, it's, I always say to people, you know, they, you know how they joke, you know, we always joke like, yes, you did. You asked for, this is the life you asked for, blah, blah. But technically, from what we can remember, we don't remember that when we come here. I don't remember like coming out of my mother's womb and saying, okay, I want to make sure I can see dead people. And I want to, blah, blah, you know, at this age.
I didn't ask
and,
for any of this.
Well,
I'm telling you right now.
But, you know, for me, it's like, I can't change what I get for what I can do now. Like, I can't, I don't want to. Like, I have a message and I can help people and I'm doing, like, if that's what I'm supposed to do, that's what I'm supposed to do. But I don't think anybody should have to explain it and feel like they feel bad about it. And so anybody who is, you know, contemplating out there in the listening world, whether they should develop their skills, if this is a time in your life that the universe feels you're supposed to use them, there's a reason, whether it be to make your path easier, whether it be for you to work through a path you've been on, or whether it just to be for you to be more in tune with yourself and people, and or you'd be okay with yourself. You know, there's always reasons why at a certain point in somebody's life that they choose to do this. And a lot of us can remember exactly when that pivotal point was where our gifts blew open, or we just completely, you know, embrace them and didn't fight it anymore. And yeah, maybe you lost friends and maybe you actually left your jobs and maybe, you know, you have lost family. It doesn't matter. But a lot of people know there was a pivotal point usually where they chose to do something and it was almost like they felt like the universe laid it in front of them. And like, if they had never done that, their life wouldn't be what it is right now. Mm. Almost every one of us could probably say that, even if it was seeing the ad in the paper for that ghost hunting class, you know, and deciding to go, right.
You
know, I mean, none of us would even know each other. I wouldn't know any of you because every single one of you came in through a class. You were all in different classes. Every one of you, Charlie and Dana were in the same, but Virgil and Mark were in different ones, and none of us would be sitting here right now doing this show.
See, I think even if I would have skipped that paper, people end up here for a reason, and people just drawn in. So another path, another way would have brought me here.
Never know.
Never know.
Maybe you were supposed to be in the chunk that you were in, you know.
What was that?
So maybe you were supposed to be in the part that, you know, at that time you were supposed to, because it wouldn't have lined up that way for a class. I don't even remember when we had a class after yours.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Way back. It was the last one.
I agree with what you're saying. But for me, the most frustrating part of it, like when I was little, I would see things just before they were about to happen and it was too late to do anything about it.
Yeah, because you're somebody, there's a lot of people that have it that way. And it's very hard for them to learn
because
how to work with that.
What do you, and to me, the only reason I even shared what I, and I don't even think I even saw the thing play out. The first time I pointed at a tree and I told my mother, what was that? Was that Mark?
That's computer.
Oh,
that's
everything going off.
I pointed at a tree and I said, my Aunt Bonnie's going to hit a tree like this and crash her car. And my mother just, she goes, I'll just sit down in the seat. We're going to your grandmother's. Within 15, 20 minutes, the phone call came. She did it. So I almost saw it when it was happening. That is, you know, that's like, you know, watching people drive into walls or something. You can't do anything about it, but you get to see it. I don't know what benefit that has for me. Do you know what I mean? Not to bring the show back down a little.
I don't think it does have a benefit for you.
It's so like
it's
why?
It's just something that you can do, but it's not a.
Does
particular,
it have to have a benefit?
I'm not saying it has to have a benefit, but it to me it might be to me just, it has no practical
it
use.
It might be just for
you. You know what I'm saying?
But there might not be. It might just be that your vibration is high, and there's just that part that you tune into, and it's just for you. Growth-wise, to being able to be okay to accept that that's just what it is, and not trying to overthink it or figure it out.
Well, I wasn't overthinking it at that point.
No, I mean when you're growing up. I'm talking about when somebody's growing up.
When I saw it, it was to help. I wanted someone to know to help her. You know, the second time, the second time I mentioned that, they paid more attention to me. But it still didn't make any difference. It already happened.
But you know what? Right, and there's these stories that you know if somebody's meant. Their time is up,
mm-hmm.
and somehow they escape it. Like they miss the flight on the plane that
like
went
final
down.
Destination.
And then they wow, I escaped this. I'm you know, but some bizarre thing happened a month later,
mm-hmm.
and they get killed in another kind of accident because they were still meant to be going. I don't know how I believe it. If I believe in that.
I can talk about that right now because it just recently happened to me. When I went out to Oregon,
uh-huh.
the week before, I kept seeing all kinds of things. I saw a big billboard about something about getting make sure you get flight insurance in case something happens. Uh-huh. I saw all these signs, and when I got on that plane, I swear, as I'm sitting here, I thought something was going to happen with that plane. I thought for sure. And when we landed in Chicago, I was like, all right, well, maybe it was my imagination. Then when we took off from Chicago to go out there for an hour and a half, we flew through turbulence where the plane was shaking all over the place. And I was like, well, maybe this is it because there was, and there's a lot more. I can't remember them all. I was seeing black flags on things and bunting from people. Like everywhere I looked, I saw signs of death. No one died in my family, not that I know of, but from the things that I'd seen in the past, I'm like, this has to be real because I can't not shake it. I don't know at that time if there was a plane crash around that time. I have no idea. But I was seeing this all the time. And then when the banging started happening on the floor, that was really creepy. I talked to the one guy from Barefoot Paranormal, and he's actually a flight mechanic, the leader of their team. Yep. And we started talking about that. And he said, well, there are some hydraulics in the plane there. But he asked me where I was sitting, and I told him, I said, I was sitting right against the window and I could see the curvature of the floor. He goes, well, he goes, we have to look at the plane, but he goes, there's really not a lot there to even cause that. So when I landed in Portland, I was like, all right, this is my imagination. And nothing happened. But it was as real as anything I've ever saw. And then nothing comes of it.
Have you ever thought that perhaps that you were just connected into another dimension?
I don't know.
Time?
It could have happened. Maybe it happened to another me in another multi-dimension.
Exactly. And that you just might be seeing through these other dimensions.
See, to me, that's twice as worse as, let's say I see that you're going to run into a stop sign and destroy your car.
Right.
If now I'm seeing things that I can't even get in touch with, that's even more pointless.
Well, it is. It's very,
you know what I'm saying?
Because what
do I do with that?
Well, there's nothing you can do with it.
No. So I'm going to go through my life confused and frustrated.
That's why you need training. And then we'll bring it back in.
I just need to find a wormhole and go to where I belong because this is not the
first. Virgil, you're going to be happy sometime.
Some other time? Thank
no,
you.
No, some other time. Some other time.
Oh, I thought you were going to say with some other package.
No.
Well, that's what it is.
That could be too.
For anyone we have out there with the same feelings Virgil has, you know, maybe you do need some kind of psychic development to tune these visions in and really get a good understanding. I mean, it could be like
I don't really care to see anymore.
Well, not even that. Imagine
this. You know what I'm saying?
And you don't drink a lot either.
Now,
no, I people used to joke around and say, oh, you must take a lot of drugs and do this and that. And I said, no, I don't need drugs to see things. All I got to do is close my eyes.
Well, here's the thing, though, too. Now, our older audience will understand this, but for our younger audience out there, before there was cable, TV came through airwaves into an antenna. And you had to sit there and you had to, you know, get somebody either grab the antenna, stand up on one foot, wrap tinfoil on their head, do whatever to get it clear.
I remember
it's true. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So what I'm getting at is
rabbit ears.
Yeah. For those of us, you know, you would tune in and
remember that.
Oh yeah,
he's seen it on a video.
No, pushing 40, baby, it's coming.
Were black and white TVs around?
I had a black and white TV, and I had the UHF channel.
Have circular antennas.
Yeah.
Too.
Did you have the dial?
I had both dials. I had the top. It went from
UHF and VHF.
Yeah, I had the UHF in the bottom. Yeah, I got one in my house still. But so bringing this back now. So now, when you have something like this, it might be that. That's not the exact vision. It might be like us looking at a scrambled TV.
Mm-hmm.
And say, oh, I got to go tune this in a little bit.
Right.
And with the training, you actually learn how to more interpret some of those things. And it might not always come in like that. Or if that's what you're used to, that's how your mind might interpret it also. But with a little bit of training, you can start figuring, okay, this is what my information is now and really literally get a grasp on it. Like before I started, I used to get these premonition dreams all the time. And it was the most – it wasn't like anything big. It was the most mundane things. What's that?
Something shook my chair.
Ooh, that was me. From across the room. But
doing it. You're making the floor move.
Say, hold on. Let me do it again. There we go.
No, it didn't move.
No, we're not validating this.
You gotta give it to me the other way.
We'll do it again. Hold on. Let me.
You guys want us to leave?
No, I want you taking pictures. But you need something for the YouTube.
Not pretty.
My eyes. But getting back to it, I mean, it's just a way to really, really interpret that information. And that's, you know, if people are at home are having the same thing Virgil is, you know.
I did want to say one thing that I learned from, you know, my own training when I was doing, you know, because obviously we still do things where we're always learning and, or, you know, learning from other mediums and psychics and, you know, people we talk to, we share stories and, you know, war stories and things like that. And one of the things that I learned was when we're young too, it also depends on our environment and our mindset just as much as when we're older. So if we're in a very negative, toxic environment growing up, you will tend to bring in more negative and toxic experiences with psychic abilities and spirits. And same vice versa, if you're in a very positive, upbeat one, a lot of those people tend to connect more in with angels and, you know, light beings and fairies and things like that, you know. So it's interesting. I feel it's the same way when you're older, you know, what abilities you have and what you're able to do depending on your personal space in your environment as well. And that's something that, you know, I forgot to mention, especially with what Virgil's talking about too, with trying to figure out, you know, why do some people get this, why do some people get that, but there's some people that actually only get impending things that happen, like, you know, plane crashes. And so many people got that, what happened with 9/11, you know. They didn't know when it was going to happen or how it was going to happen. Some of them, it was literally seconds before it happened, you know. And there are people who tend to get more of those type of things, you know, that they see visions, and some of them get really disturbed because they don't know where, they don't know if it's something that already happened. They don't know if it's something coming in a day. They don't know if it's something coming in an hour.
But there's nothing they can do.
No, and it's just part of what they have. But if you let it make you crazy or let it take over,
welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Please enter your host PIN. When finished, press the pound key. I'm sorry, but I did not hear you press at least 4.
Well, somebody said something, and it was actually somebody, it was a voice. Unmuted.
There we go.
What's going on? Are you muted over there? Well, I guess I can hear that, but I can't hear anybody talking.
I bet we could still be live, and we don't know.
No, he would.
He's calling.
I'm calling. I can't hear it.
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.